Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. We're going to get started here. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about helping employees deliver amazing customer experiences to drive service productivity. We're going to do this in a pretty interesting way by hearing from actual customers and telling their stories. But first, let me introduce myself. My name is Marty Carreras, Microsoft. I'm a national customer success manager for Dynamics CRM. So I get the privilege of being able to work with customers that are using Dynamics in a variety of different ways across the public sector, state, local, city, and other municipalities, and learn what they're doing with Dynamics in the traditional way with CRM, but more often on the side of things from an XRM platform perspective. So when you look at this title, it could mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So what we decided to do is bring three customers here today to be able to talk about how amazing customer experiences from a public sector perspective all starts with the ability for those employees that are servicing those citizens and servicing those customers, however it's whatever the words are that you use in your particular jurisdiction, how the technology helps to enable the successful ability to execute those services, whether that be across public safety, human services, a variety of different areas of local and state government and county government and public health. So to that end, what we're going to do is walk through a couple of scenarios from three customers that were fortunate enough to have highlight here today. First, we're going to start and hear from Orange County Sheriff. And they're going to talk about a variety of different use cases where Dynamics has been very successful to enable them to rapidly build applications to help from a public safety perspective. And that's going to be Captain Mark Long, a retired captain from Orange County Sheriff, as well as Dave Jamriska. They're going to come up and do a joint presentation on that part of the storyline. And then we're going to move over to the Centers for Disease Control. And that's going to be John Araujo. And John is going to come up and talk about how Centers for Disease Control are using it to help streamline the process of working through the science around the work efforts that they do and how the technology is helping to enable that and streamline that effort. And then finally, we're going to end with Stephen DePuter, recently former CIO of Illinois Healthcare and Family Services, who's going to talk about a very rapid application that was developed to help amplify the ability to deliver great customer experiences through a human services use case. Okay, so without further ado, I'm going to invite Mark and Dave to come on up here and begin to tell their story.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me?
Oh, perfect. Good morning.
Thank you for being here today. Before we get started, we're going to watch a short little video.
Through the years, the men and women of this great department have held your safety as our highest priority. That will never change. It is our promise to you to continue to protect our communities with vigilant dedication and to always serve you through integrity without compromise. We are the Orange County Sheriff's Department. Our mission is and always will be your safety.
That video has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about today. Actually, it does. I'm Mark Long. I'm a retired captain with the Orange County Sheriff's Department. I did 29 years there. Orange County is 3.2 million people. We patrol about 27 or 28% of the population there, so we have a patrol area of about 850,000 people. We run the fifth largest jail in the country. We run the crime lab. We have contracts with Orange County Airport to run security at the airport. We run the bomb squad, the SWAT teams for the county. We run the Marine Patrol, Marine Operations Bureau, Harbor Patrol, and OCTA. So we patrol the railroad tracks and we ride the buses in the county. So we have about 3,600 employees, 1,800 of which are sworn, 1,800 of which are non-sworn. Okay, so you kind of got a glimpse of the department in that short little video, and the reason we show it is because it's a real diverse department. And one of the challenges we in the Sheriff's Department faced is trying to keep control of all those employees and all those different areas. We face a lot of exposure because of the job that we do. And one of the challenges that the Sheriff's Department, or that the Sheriff challenged us with, was creating systems of accountability to keep control of all those dangerous situations and our employees, and to give some feedback to executive management on what those employees are doing. So one of the challenges that we face is, when I came aboard, when she tasked me with that job is back in 2011, is we had, she wanted to create what they call, what she called a personnel history index. She wanted to be able to look at our employees, look at some of some critical factors of things that we do, like use of force, number of traffic collisions, civil litigation that's filed against the department, citizen complaints, internal affairs investigation. How do we take all that data that we're kind of sort of collecting but not really, and how do we update that data and bring it into a system to where you could get a one snapshot view of our employees and then start to drill down on, see who some of the problems are and what we do about them. So one of the things we faced is, as it says up there, the sheriff wanted creation of a personnel history index. That's what she envisioned. What we had is we had these disparate systems that were kind of sort of collecting data, but weren't really. We had four systems built by one person on the department. We had three other systems built by other people on the department. And the different systems were built with different levels of expertise. So some of the information that went in wasn't very good. Some of the outcomes that came out consequently weren't very good. We didn't have any automated reporting features. We didn't have any tools that management could pull up and see reports on an automatic basis. We didn't have any automated workflows. All the data entry was redundant. So say, for instance, an employee got injured at work, a supervisor either would print out or physically write out a form, they'd fax it over to my division, which was called the Safe Division, and then we would re-input that data. The problem is all we were doing was data collection. We were doing no data analysis, and we had no automated workflows, and we had no automated reporting. So it was a challenge. So that's kind of the problem that we faced. And after a year of trying to work through those solutions to try and get them to be improved, we realized we were kind of at a crossroad. We could keep going down the road we were, and we weren't making any progress, or we could do something else. So one of the things that we did was we bought 2,500 CRM seats. And what CRM did for us is, we'll cover that. Oh, thank you. One of the things that CRM did for us is it created a uniform platform, because we were looking to, when the sheriff says we want to create a PHI, for our department, these were the things that were important to us. There are seven components, including workers' comp, traffic collision, risk management, internal affairs, use of force, complaints, and accommodations. We wanted to collect all that data on our employees. But once again, we had disparate systems. We might be collecting data. We weren't doing it very effectively, and there were no reporting features. There were no automatic workflows. So the reason we bought CRM is it provided a uniform platform in which to collect all the data. The second thing is that if you have someone very competent, and we do in Dave, we were able to create some very effective automated workflows. And I'll give you an example. Now, Anytime one of my employees, when I left the department, I was the captain of North Operations. Anytime one of my employees was injured on the job, as soon as the sergeant put that data into the system, I immediately got an email notifying me that one of our employees was injured, the extent of the injury, and a brief synopsis of what occurred. It created consistent reporting for us. Management is busy. They wanted to look at a single sheet of paper and tell us where we're at, what direction we're moving, what are the trends in the department. A lot of back-end features, and more importantly, some real-time information available to managers. What we've created in this system is we created, if I'm a division commander and I want to know how many uses of force occurred within the past couple of weeks or within the past 3 months, I could look at it real-time, because as soon as a supervisor enters that into the system, it's immediately available to me. And then the last thing was the system allowed us for continuous improvement. As we roll out the system, we see that there's problems with it or that it needs changing. Oftentimes, under the old systems, we were handcuffed by a vendor who created a system and then disappeared. And there was no support, and then we'd have to re-engage them. We would have to write a scope of services. They'd come in to be expensive. I'd have to try and find the money. It wasn't a very effective system. So by allowing the continuous improvement and make constant changes and the investment that Microsoft has made in CRM, it's really improved our product greatly. So without further ado, I'll let Dave show you some of the features and some of the products that he's created.
Hi, everybody. So I'm gonna jump forward here a little bit, and I'm going to get to the meat of this stuff. So one of the things that's interesting is you saw the video. Mark and Chris both got to do that. Me, the video of me would be me sitting behind a computer, so I'm not as exciting as these guys are. So I want to start with the PHI command dashboard. So what we have is these live dashboards that our executive command can look at any time, and they're real up to date. They're usually within 4 to 14 hours behind. Basically, as soon as that event occurs, it's entered and it goes through the process. So they can actually see who are our employees that have the most events, say a work comp, use of force, and so on and so forth. So you can get an idea of maybe some employees heading off the rails. I hate to say that, but they can have an early intervention before he does something that's going to cost him his job, the county some money, and his citizen an unfortunate time. We have these dashboards here. We've screened out all the names, unfortunately, but kind of shows the different categories. And then we have some more charts and graphs, because God knows executives love charts and graphs. So this gives you some traffic collisions trends. It looks at workers' comp claims by trends. And as you know, with CRM, they can actually drill down behind this and look at what's going on behind it. So they can actually go down to the individual record. Like, I'm really curious, why do we have so many traffic collisions in July? And they can drill down and search and search. Oh, I remember there was a four-vehicle accident. That's why. So some more dashboards. I'm going to reference the chart on the bottom. I always ask this question when I first meet people. You know, we record combinations and complaints from the citizens. And with today's news, you know, one of the first things when I joined the department and I had to run this report for somebody, I said, those numbers can't be right. It shows that we get 3 combinations from the citizens for every complaint we get in, which to me was surprising, but it's very legit. And in fact, a lot of the complaints we come out to be unfounded. But I think that's a really interesting fact that probably wouldn't have ever been raised up. So all of that data is collected, as Captain Long mentioned, and it goes on to what's called the personal history index page for the individual. This is a sample of mine. It shows that I've got 6 use of forces, 3 work comp claims, a pursuit, and it gives that ability to take a look at me as an individual and look at what's going on with me. Especially important is it gives the threshold history. So every time someone hits a threshold, there's an email sent out, and the captain of the division commander goes in and clears it. Next. So this is what our end users see. This is an example. This is a review of a use of force. And we did a lot of things because a lot of our officers don't interact with the system on a frequent basis. You know, we don't have tons of use of forces. We don't have tons of work comp claims. You know, we're a pretty large organization. So we give them videos at the top, and we give them manuals, and we give them a lot of what we call cheater notes. We really try and pour in all that information for the users so they actually can see it and be self-sufficient, because we're a true 7x24 operation. You know, when someone's in the jail at 2 a.m. and they got to fill their work comp claim, God knows I don't want them calling me. they do, but I really don't. So here's a work comp claim, very similar to that. We also have the packages you give the employees when they're injured. This automatically generates the state form 5020. It fills out all types of notifications if there's ambulance, and when this comes in, as Captain Long mentioned, it used to get filled out by hand, faxed in, re-entered, and then faxed out to the different organizations. Now when it happens, it automatically goes to our TPA, our county safety, it goes all over the place automatically. Next slide. So here's a pursuit. This is actually one of the last things Captain Long made us do before he left. And it's a pursuit critique. This used to be a completely word-driven process. It's now automated with approvals and notifications. So there's a couple interesting charts. So this is a chart for traffic collisions. We have a quarterly review board. And then my personal favorite is we also have expanded beyond that original list of 7 modules to include things like canine. This is a canine. So they have a tremendous amount of training. We do canines, inmate grievances, e-warrants, legal holds. We have about 18 modules that we built. It's actually the next page. Sorry, let's step back. So the original project was in CRM 2011. We've upgraded to 2013. We actually did a lot of re-implementation to take advantage of a lot of the new features. It's almost a pure XRM solution. We use 2 out-of-the-box entities, user and business unit. Otherwise, everything else is custom, 197 entities. We have 4,500 employees. We have 3,800 full-time and another 800 or so reservists. And about 2,500 of them are active users for us. So here's a list of what we originally started with, what we've built out in addition. And now remember, this has all been in about 22 months that we've built all of this out. And a lot of these are very complex things. If I was doing traditional app dev through .NET, I might be finished with the first 7. And then you can see out there, we've got planned projects, and that's not even all of them. It's almost an avalanche of requests from the end users, because now that they see it, and they see how it all integrates, and as we know, the people who use CRM, you can actually click on a city or a division command and see everything behind it. So, I actually covered almost all of this information, so we'll jump past it, other than our users fill these out in patrol cars. So I'm going to turn it back over to Captain Long to wrap it up for us.
You know, I haven't, in my 29 years in the department, you don't get an opportunity to really change directions of the department. This is a big change for us. Most police agencies, they're comfortable with doing what they did today and what they did yesterday. Ferguson's a classic example. The DOJ went down there. I just read their report on there. And in Ferguson, what the DOJ talked about is they walked in, they said, hey, give us all your use of force reports. They're all paper-based reports. All the reports were kept separate from the rest of the department. The chief didn't even know about some of the reports. And so what the DOJ said in their report is they said, you know, had you looked at this information in the aggregate, there's a lot of things that would have jumped out at you and you would have made policy changes and we wouldn't probably have the problems today as a result of that. But they didn't have a database. They couldn't look at things in the aggregate. Well, guess what? We were Ferguson 6 or 7 years ago. So when you do these things, if you take on an opportunity like this, one of the things, the only reason it was successful in the sheriff's department is it came from the sheriff. Sheriff says, this is what we're going to have. And consequently, the entire command staff was on board. So full support from the entire command staff was absolutely necessary. Second thing is, you have to have the money to pay for it. Oftentimes, we buy systems, but we don't buy all the add-ons, and we don't make constant improvement, and it falls by the wayside. It's ineffective, and everyone goes, why do we waste money on that? That's number 2. Fully fund it, support it, and continuous improvement. The opportunity to go in and make changes and constantly improve it. You know, I give an example oftentimes of the cell phone. The original cell phone was this big, and now, you know, look at what we have. They've made the continuous improvements on that. Dave continues to make improvements on this. So with that, I'll let John talk. And thank you for your attention.
Good morning. My name is John Araujo. I'm a scientist from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. I'm actually here in Atlanta. Yesterday, we were making our acquaintances, and I told these gentlemen from Orange County that I actually grew up in Southern California in Orange County. So we had a nice little chat. This is what I want to talk to you about this morning. First of all, I want to talk to you about science at CDC. I want to talk to you about how our project began, what was our case for change. Our vision is to deliver more science, less hassle to our customers, which are CDC scientists. How we are going about achieving that vision of more science and less hassle. And very important to us, and I think this message was already brought out this morning, leveraging partnerships across your organization and across government and industry to deliver what we call sweet IT. I want to show you an illustration of what delivering more science and less hassle will look like via what we call our capability gap map, and then finally ending on leveraging technology to achieve the CDC mission. At CDC, the public health promotion mission rests on science. That's the first bullet. The second bullet tells us that science is underpinned by research. And finally, that research, when it involves human subjects, must comply with a code of federal regulations. And that is our challenge, compliance with scientific federal regulations. On the right-hand side is a graphic that actually appears on our internet website. It depicts the relationship between morbidity and mortality and well-being, and the science contribution to understanding the relationship between morbidity, mortality, and well-being. This is a story about our case for change. It's rooted in a center called the National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities. This particular project took more than 2 years to start. A lot of the blame for this two-year delay was laid at the feet of IT. And on the right-hand side of this slide is actually the notice that appeared in the Federal Register about this particular project. This is not a unique situation at CDC, unfortunately. Complying with everything that is required of scientists from a federal regulation point of view is very time-consuming and gets in the way of doing science. And that's why we talk about more science and less hassle. The agency came together and said, let's have a project. That project is a Science Services Support Project, or S3P, and our goal is to streamline the processes associated with compliance with federal regulations, which the downstream impact is on everybody in this room, public health promotion, infectious disease, and chronic disease. This is our current situation. From how we do it, or IT now, we have siloed systems, disparate processes across our 13 national centers. Some of these centers do not have a system of record. Many of them use paper, slide rules, baling wire. And what we're trying to do, and this is our vision, is to install sweet IT, a suite of integrated products and services at CDC, and come up with an integrated, unified, enterprise-wide solution that can cut this time in half, from 9 to 12 months, or 9 to 18 months, down to 9 months. And this is our project, More Science, Less Hassle, Science Services Support Project. About 2 years ago, into the project, we were at the point where we started making some technology decisions. And those decisions eventually landed up with a set of Microsoft products, Dynamics and SharePoint, and then from our partners, Enroll and Scribe. We spent several days at the MTC Center in Atlanta working with Microsoft architects to come up with a way to implement this at CDC in the room where government employees from our IT services office, from our security office, from our enterprise architecture office, from our capital planning and investment control office, our project was present, and then our industry partners were present. And we talked about using Dynamics CRM integrated with SharePoint to deliver more science and less hassle. The idea of multi-tenancy was very new to us. We have never deployed Dynamics here at CDC. And we needed to understand that a tenant could be a very secure organization, different from any other organization that might want to use Dynamics. We talked about authentication and authorization and the security model within Dynamics CRM. Down at the bottom, we were very concerned about having a development platform for our developers. So what were we going to do, something on-premise or in the cloud? We talked about application lifecycle management, the number of environments we would need at CDC to support our implementation of Dynamics integrated with SharePoint. And then finally, we also talked about the vision for Dynamics. This is in 2013. 2011 was out. Where was Microsoft headed, and how were they planning to roll out 2013 in our time frame for deploying Dynamics at CDC? Out of that meeting came this architecture design. You can see that we have a strong relationship with other Microsoft products, Exchange and Link, IIS for our web services. Dynamics is stuck in the middle. It is the backbone. It's the DNA of our project. It's about managing relationships, activities, workflows across the organization for what the scientists have to do to meet scientific regulatory compliance. Document management was very important to us. One of our offices right now has 60,000 documents associated with the projects that they have under their management. And we had to have strong integration with SharePoint, with Dynamics for document management. We have both consumers and suppliers of information into Dynamics. And so we needed a data exchange tool, and we landed on Scribe. And then finally, one of our critical success factors for the project was to be able to centralized business rules management, and we landed on Inroll. This particular architecture that you see is available to the entire enterprise. It's PLA compliant, product line architecture compliant at the Dynamics and SharePoint level, and that means that should we want to move from on-prem to the cloud, we are positioned to do that. Okay. When we talk about delivering more science and less hassle to the agency, this is what our core group of stakeholders, our 26 SMEs who have been with us throughout the project, assess their current capability for delivering more science and less hassle to CDC. These are all tiles. There are 57 capabilities that represent how well the agency currently delivers on that vision. And you can see that about 92% of them are red. We are not doing a very good job of getting out of the way of scientists and letting them do their work. This is our vision upon implementation of Dynamics, CRM, and our suite of integrated products. Our vision is that when we go back and assess the delivery of our project, all that red and yellow will turn to green. So, leveraging technology to achieve the CDC mission. One of the very important parts of this project was configuration or customization. When we started out, we were estimating 20 to 40% customization. And that led to a price tag of well over $20 million and 37 months worth of effort. When we focused in on configuration, we focused in on using Dynamics, we focused in on using SharePoint, Scribe and Inroll. That went down to under $10 million in 17 months. That was a huge savings in time and effort and a big budget for our project. So that had very significant impacts on cost and schedule. Another important feature of our selection of Dynamics was that we could do agile development and proof of concepts, and this led to stakeholder engagement, very strong stakeholder engagement. They could talk about what they wanted. The developers could go off and sometimes days or even weeks later come back and engage them, and they say, yes, this is what I want. These stakeholders are also involved in our functional testing. And when they make a request and it gets implemented and it's done the way they want to, they're more likely to be involved and stay involved. I talked to you about integration within our current CDC environment. We have integration across the Microsoft platform. We also have integration with non-Microsoft products. But one of the very important directives from the Office of Management Budget is that you must share first. You cannot build it if it exists already. And so we already had a deployment of SharePoint 2013 at CDC. We run Exchange and Link, and this was a natural fit to drop Dynamics into this mix of products. And then finally, all of this is leading to the delivery of what we really want to do, which is achieve more science, less hassle, and increase public health in the United States and around the world. This is a picture of our campus, and actually part of the campus is open to the public. You can learn about how to gain access to that part of the campus on our website, cdc.gov. So come and visit us.
All right. You guys hear me okay? Excellent. My name is Stephen DePooter. I'm the former CIO of Healthcare and Family Services in the state of Illinois. That's the state Medicaid agency and also the state child support agency. So we are the largest insurer in Illinois. We manage about 3 million lives now after the ACA implementation. Had an IT budget of, when I left, about $170 million a year, and a lot of healthcare reform activities going on. So in the midst of implementing all of the ACA requirements and child support mandates and all of these things, we've got a really small program in context anyway. Money follows the person. It's a federal program to move folks from institutionalized settings into the community. And so assessments need to take place, and it's basically a case management system where nursing staff can assess individuals and then decide whether or not they're able to move into the community. So the problem, we had an existing application that was developed a number of years before. It was a .NET app, custom built on a SQL backend. All in all, not bad, but it hadn't been updated or maintained in a long time. It was outsourced, so we had a third party kind of through one of the universities that had built this and was kind of maintaining it, and it had really just kind of fallen through the cracks and wasn't being taken care of well. We decided to take this in-house and wanted to take more control of it. We had a lot of customer dissatisfaction with it because it wasn't doing what it needed to do. And as we took it in-house, we realized, oh my gosh, there's a lot of stuff that is, you know, of concern from a security perspective here that hasn't been taken care of over the years, to the extent that I turned it off that day. It was really bad, and you don't want to make that call to your customer where you're like, you know what, we just looked under the covers, and this is really, really, really not good. So we did about 2 weeks of intense rebuild on this, but not from the ground up, but really just to, you know, close the doors as much as we could, and took steps to make sure that it was at least able to be used internally while we looked for a solution, because it really needed to be scrapped and started over. You weren't going to be able to basically fix it. Things were systemic. So the need was to a complete replacement of this system. And since we were in this predicament where we had a program that was operating, we have people that, we have mandates, federal mandates, that these people need to be assessed. You're either going to paper or you're going to put something in really, really fast. And so we took a quick look at what the environment and context was. We had cloud-first legislation that really kind of helped us look at and rule out cloud solutions first before we would go develop something in-house or do something internally hosted. It would need to be accessible. I'm not used to having this down here. This is kind of cool, but I'm used to looking over here, like, right? Anyway, I'm just not going to look at it. So it just throws me off. I know the story. So we had internal and external folks that needed to use this, and the majority of them were external, actually. So we had a lot of nursing staff from the University of Illinois College of Nursing up in Chicago, and a lot of third-party providers that were doing these assessments that needed to access the application. And we needed this to be secure. I mean, one of the reasons we're in this predicament is we had a system that was not secure. So we really sat down with Microsoft and went through the litany of the cloud solution and the security that they employ in their data centers, and realized that this is a viable solution for us. And as you know, with state government, procurement can be really, really tricky. And you know, we went through all kinds of issues and challenges in terms of how do we get licensing and how do we develop this, because we didn't have any real Microsoft developers. I got .NET programmers and a lot of COBOL programmers, but not a lot of SharePoint or CRM developers at this point that I can just tap. So we're going to need to reach out and have Microsoft help us out with that. So our decision and the three options we considered were in-house development, and I got a great team of staff, but they're busy doing all kinds of other stuff and don't have 6 months to develop from the ground up a brand new app and deal with the requirements. And on the business side, there's even more friction because those guys are dealing with all of the ACA implementation, MMIS implementation, integrated eligibility system implementation, so my business users are not available. You could procure a case management solution, because really that's what this is. Those are really expensive. Not a lot of them are cloud hosted. And there's a lot of risk, because really you need your business to drive this thing, and they're not available really for us. And so the dynamic CRM platform seemed like a real viable alternative to us. And we'd seen a number of cases, even internally, at our Department of Corrections, where they used CRM as basically a case management function from a Health and Human Services perspective. Seemed like a really good fit. We had an ELA with Microsoft, even though the chief procurement officer for the state said, oh, well, you know, your ELA doesn't say CRM cloud in it explicitly, so you can't buy it. We were able to negotiate and navigate the procurement board and figure out how to make that happen. So we were able to buy licenses and procure some services off of our Premier support agreement to have Microsoft help us stand up and basically re-platform the MFP application. So we were on a very tight timeline. We wanted to do a rapid design and development using Agile. We needed to basically rip and replace the exact system, but we didn't want to implement the stuff that wasn't working, and we needed a few things additional because you want your end users, obviously, to get some bang for the buck. Even though, you know, if you rip and replace exactly as it is, they're probably going to be excited because it looks and acts a lot better. You want to add some of those features and functionality as much as possible without gold plating everything to make it seem like it's a good thing. So with minimal resource commitment, functional requirements, we exceeded expectations with out-of-the-box functionality. So one of the things we also tried to do was not customize the living heck out of this. We're putting it in the cloud, and I don't have a lot of resources to do testing and things like that constantly for all of the customization. And so we really wanted to use out-of-the-box functionality as much as possible, so as revs come out, we can stay up to date, minimal testing with our business users, and stay on track in terms of security and functionality. So Microsoft manages those cloud services for us, and I've got state staff, very minimal state staff. We're talking one business analyst, and then I was starting to build, a team of CRM, Microsoft, SharePoint, and CRM folks in-house, getting them trained and up to speed to assist in the future. So the result was we were able to replace the system in 12 weeks. Now, there was a couple weeks on the front end where we were talking with the business users and kind of documenting some of those initial requirements that were outside of the scope of what the system currently did. And there was a couple of weeks, really two, at the end where we did training and really made sure that it was a seamless implementation. But development time was 12 weeks, which is phenomenal in a state government setting. You just don't do anything in 12 weeks. I'm sorry. You can clap if you'd like. It's okay. Yeah. I didn't do it. It really is the ease of the application and the folks that we had from Microsoft that came in and drove it. So they managed it in an agile project management format, and they brought one developer in that was phenomenal. And we had scrums every day. We had weekly sessions with the business users. And a lot of times the next week, the list of items that were documented the week before that needed to be changed were done, and a new list came up. And at some point, about 8 weeks in, we said, okay, functionality's there, we're done, now we just gotta clean it up. By the time we implemented, there was still a list of some things that needed to get tweaked, this and that and the other thing, and we were able to very easily put it on an IFB and get a whole number of Microsoft partners to kind of do a 6-month support program for us. And really within about 1 month of implementation, the rest of the items on the list that were the I wish I hads were done. So we were really diligent about drawing the line, implementing as quickly as possible, and then doing the nice to haves afterwards, and it worked out really well. The end users were extremely pleased to the extent that we demoed this for a number of our sister agencies, aging, mental health, and so forth, and they could see the value in using this for a lot of what they did. And that was one of the intents early on. Pick something really small on the Dynamics platform that you can show that you can implement quickly and then let people see the value. It's kind of back to that agile methodology where you're doing these daily scrums and get those feedback loops. If folks can see what it does, they easily can kind of make that next leap and go, oh, I could do this with it. I could do this with it. So this allows our current IT staff to configure additional solutions across platforms. Before I left, we had aging, which downstream did some workflow case management for the same clients, and we were able to pull that data in and then have that horizontally a dashboard so you can see the full flow of people through the assessment on the front end to the community side on the back end and what happened to them, even though it wasn't in CRM. So just even having that platform so that you can view the data from other systems has been a phenomenal improvement, as opposed to that siloed approach of the .NET SQL, which is a great thing, but it just doesn't have that visibility. So the flexible design, the built-in workflow, and the interoperability, it's all in line with what the MITRE principles, the 7 standards and conditions, if you're all familiar with MMIS systems and Medicaid, but this all flows into that and supports it. So I've got a few screenshots so you can kind of see what it looks like. Things have changed a little bit since I put these up, and we've got a lot more reports and dashboards and things like that, but this is the initial screen where folks can do a lookup and see where the clients are. We did one of the big improvements we did in terms of interoperability was we have an old legacy mainframe, and we did a check up front in our referral process to the legacy mainframe and returned our RIN, our unique ID for all Medicaid patients. And so in the past, there was this referral process that was completely manual. It was all paper-based. Really, by the time you get a piece of paper in, it was at least 30 days before, and manual lookups on all these systems to see who this person was, do we already have them in, less than 24 hours after we implemented this system. Automated, and you've got the check with the Medicaid system so you know who they are. another screen with all the MFP cases where folks can scroll through and see information that they need. Active referrals, again, that process was completely automated. That was one of the big ticket improvements that we made. And the fact that you can see dashboards embedded in these screens and folks can customize those, they love that. This is where we had a lot of the managers go right out of the gate so that they could see how many. We had a lot of statistical numbers that we needed to hit with moving people out and assessments and all those kinds of things. So from a supervisor perspective, they could go right to this dashboard, see how their folks are doing for that month, and then go take action on it. Obviously, drill down and do all those kinds of things. Another dashboard with customizable views and charts. One of the training items that we did with supervisors was brought them in and taught them how to customize the dashboards and the charts so that they could run their own reports. And that worked really well. A lot of these folks are used to using Excel and limited access, so having them be able to do this is a huge improvement for them, and it's less of a burden for the IT staff as well. So we've got the banner at the front that tells on the top that tells you exactly where you are in the process, which is great from a case management perspective. As you go through, you can click on that, go back to a screen, fill out information, check on things. These are things that were not they were not able to do in the previous iteration. And then some referral reports. So a lot of what we did as an improvement also was the back-end reporting. And so they had a litany of requests of, I wish I had this, I wish I had this. And nobody had gone through the trouble, even though it was a SQL back-end, of actually doing that. And we were able to do it within that 12-week time frame. And so they had these as the system went live. And so while you probably could have done that on the old system, it just gave more credence to how flexible and how easy to use and customer-friendly the new CRM platform is. And that's the end of my presentation.
About 15 minutes to get some Q&A. Might be helpful to, if you can step up to the microphone or speak really loudly so we can all hear you. I have to trade the mic a little bit.
See, just keep go ahead and keep yours on and maybe take that one. Shade it if you need to. You guys have that one.
I'm not sure I understand the question. Our IT department decided on the CRM platform. What we did is we put a scope of service together that said, these are the things that we want to capture. Tell us the best way to capture that. And that's how we ended on the CRM product. But what we found is that it worked extremely well with the workflows and with the charts and graphs and the back end of it that was very beneficial to our managers. So the sheriff kind of set the direction, said, hey, these are the things we want to capture. Let's go about capturing them the best way that we can. And that's how we came up with the CRM platform.
Intelligence system now for the operation. Can you talk about what type of actionable insight would you say you would fictitiously go about it? If you were down in Ferguson and maybe you start to see some of those thresholds, what are some of the things you would do to protect the agency and protect the employee?
Okay. Thanks for the tough question, Tom. I apologize for that. So, you know, I'm just gonna.
Can you guys hear me okay? Not the mic?
Yep.
That's not recording.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, let me just do this real quick.
I think the thing we see is that we don't have a problem in our organization, to be honest with you. The number of people who exceed our thresholds is very small. It's informative because it tells us what areas. You know, a lot of the times you'll see the people that exceed, will use use of force, are people working on the booking loop on Friday nights. They get all the drunks in. You uncuff them. What do? Turn around, take a swing at the deputy. In terms of Ferguson, I think, you know, we have a quarterly review of our use of force with the executive command staff where we produce a pretty thorough document based off the CRM data. It includes things like use of force over that quarter compared to prior quarters. It also includes by city breakdowns. It also includes by type of force used. And one of the things that I have not read the Ferguson report, but I know Captain Long has, he called out was the use of tasers. And we would have seen that right away, that there was a heavy use of tasers. We don't use a taser as much as they do by any means. But those are some of the insights. You know, we look at things, and there's actually questions about whether or not we're going too much using our hands and not using tasers or pepper spray or other things. Because unfortunately, when you go get a use of force as a deputy, you get hurt, which drives a work comp claim, which drives costs. So we're really much better off to use other options.
Just want to add a little bit to that. One of the things that we discovered as we started gathering data is that we saw that, and I'll use traffic data, we saw that almost invariably, quarter after quarter, there's three things that cause people to get in traffic collisions. Excessive speed or unsafe speed, unsafe turning movement, and unsafe backing. So once you start to collect the data, we used to look at a traffic collision report singularly. And if Chris, say, for instance, was in a traffic collision, we'd look at it, how many collisions have you been in, what steps have we done to mediate or to mitigate future accidents, mete out some discipline, and we're done. We never had the data to look at it in the aggregate. So once we got data in the aggregate, we go, wow, invariably, the number one cause of traffic collisions in the Sheriff's Department is unsafe speed. We had the capacity to look at our speed in our patrol cars. We just never turned it on. Well, once we looked at that, we go, well, let's just turn on that system. So we turned on the system, and we started producing a report on a monthly basis. The first report that we produced, it was, I don't know, 8 or 9 pages long, 40 or 50 entries, and the report was this: officers going more than 90 miles an hour. That's it. That was the only requirement. When you, as a division commander, have your officers, 8 or 9 pages of them, going more than 90 miles an hour on a report, and you shake your head and go, what are we doing? We had the capacity to look at it to see if they were rolling code 3 or if they were on a call. We didn't look at that. But it was shocking to us. I didn't believe it. I actually had my lieutenants go back and say, hey, pull the video on some of these selected ones that seem incomprehensible to me, going down a major boulevard at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, going 96 miles an hour. And because I thought the data was wrong. I was wrong. The data was right. It was shocking to us. So what we did is we started publishing that information and sharing it with our employees. The next time we ran the report, it was probably cut in half. The time after that, it was cut in half again. So we saw a huge reduction in the number of people going excess of 90 miles an hour. And we told them, we're going to start to tighten the screws. Okay, this is your warning. Quit it. But what it does, you know, one of the things that I forgot to mention is a lot of these agencies, like Ferguson, they're going to be under a DOJ consent decree. They're going to have to do the things that we've already done in the Orange County Sheriff's Department. It's sad that it has to come to that. What we've done is we're kind of ahead of the curve a little bit, not because we have to, but just because it's good management. Another thing that we did, because unsafe backing, we now have backup cameras or sensors in the cars. And I don't know whether we've deployed or not. We talked about it before I left, is disabling the MDC, because officers are reading that as they're backing up and they're crashing into somebody else. But what that does is it gives us some really good insight and really good management tools to, you know, protect our employees. They get injured when they get in crashes. So those are the things. When I left, we had hired a research analyst. One of the things that we hope to get to is, we always think that use of force results in civil litigation claims or workers' comp claims. We believe that intuitively, but we don't have any data to support it. Where I'd like to get to, if I worked for the Sheriff's Department, is get to causation studies. Does this type of use of force result in additional civil litigation claims? Does it create injuries for our employees? Does it create injuries for the suspects, et cetera? And what types of use of force cause the most injuries? And so that we can kind of tune our training to prevent injuries to suspects and to our deputies. So. Sure. Okay. Anytime our employees are in a crash, a supervisor fills out a traffic accident report on CRM.
So you do not share the data, do not get the data from other people?
No.
Okay. What about the healthcare?
So we, I got one, thanks. We've got data coming in. we do a check to our mainframe. So we do a check through a web service and get a return and put that into CRM. And then we actually push that out to our data warehouse after everything's said and done. And so that data is compiled in our data warehouse with all of the Medicaid data after the fact. It is, yeah. I mean, it's still in CRM too, but we push it into the data warehouse so that we can combine it with all of our Medicaid data and a number of other agencies' data. Yep.
So the second question, because you all have so many users, can you share more about the performance using CRM?
I'll start and then you can go. I mean, we've got 500 users on the cloud, and so they're all hitting it externally, and we haven't seen any latency. There's been no complaints with performance. I can't tell you any of the like per-click times or anything like that, but we haven't had any complaints about it, and it seems, you know, good.
So we have 2,500 users. We don't have performance issues related to user counts. To be honest with you, our components are very complex, but they're not highly transactional. So we look at some of like the use of force reports. There's 300-400 fields on one of those forms you have to fill out. A dozen related entities. They're very complex, but we don't get, you know, 300 a day or 300 an hour. God, I hope not. And I think the only thing we ever struggle with is we have a lot of dispersed locations, and the connections between those are not thick. You know, you've heard of the information superhighway. We have the information dirt path to some of our remote substations. I mean, they've got four deputies in there, so they're not going to put a ton of connectivity between them. That would be one of the advantages of the cloud. The cloud would give us. Sir?
Well, I've been retired for a year, so I'm a little out of the loop. I actually, it's probably a better question for Dave, because I know that we're looking at cameras, lapel cameras in our units. I know some of the challenges are the storage with those and what device. Yeah. Dave, do you want to cover that?
Yeah. I really appreciate that you used the word eventually, because eventually is probably going to come one day in terms of video storage. We're actually very interested. We're up at Redmond 3 weeks ago for something called the Justice and Public Safety, and we saw some pretty impressive demos that definitely will help address that. We don't currently store any video. We do store audio from the personal audio recorders that our deputies wear. In our complaint system. And then the second question was, I'm sorry.
Form factors.
right now, they're using the MDCs. We have very limited mobile, mostly because our entire deployment is in-house. We don't have any IFD. We have some very sensitive information, internal affairs, I'm sure you know. We just haven't felt comfortable doing that. We do have, for people who have, AirWatch, we have a connectivity of VPN. They do have it on a limited basis to look at work comp claims, but that's all we are at right now.
All right. Well, I think that's perfectly timed, so thank you very much for the questions. And again, thank you very much for everyone that has shared their stories. Let's give them all a round of applause.